Do you play rock and roll music?
Oh, no, sir. I consider it degrading, deteriorating, and degenerating.
The music, if you can call it that, physically assaults anyone dumb enough to listen.
I can't take no more of this radio.
Rock and roll is for morons.
The rock and roll dance party, raw, primitive, out of control. Tuesday night, 9 p.m. till midnight, right here on 90.1 FM, WUSB Stony Brook.
God, I hate rock and roll.
Oh, wow. Is that coming up again tonight? How about that? Well, you're listening to WUSB Stony Brook. It's 6 o'clock time. Once again, to see if the CD player works, it's off the wall time. So far, so good. Good evening. Well, the theme seems to be making it tonight. That's great. Last week was a disaster. But, you know, I still hear that static, though. Yeah, if I even touch, you're right, think about touching the volume control. You get all this staticky noise. Oh, well. Any event, this is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this, our last show. November. Yeah. Last show for November, and then it's on to December. We do it every year, and it's fun. Thanksgiving week, oh boy, yeah, the anticipation is just simply incredible. I think I just made an enemy for life. I get this vicarious thrill of doing this sometimes, just annoying people to death. No, not literally, although one day I'm sure I'm going to do it. Just, you know, I don't suffer fools gladly. I really don't, except it does sort of make me glad to talk about it. But there's something about people behind wheels of vehicles these days that's particularly annoying to me. It just seems to be more stupidity than ever. I mean, am I the only one noticing this? People just seem to not be thinking at all, just being completely inconsiderate and very easily... set off. You know, it's really... I think everyone is living under such stress these days that the slightest thing, the slightest incongruity or whatever, the slightest thing that's different than what you wanted to have happen is enough to make you turn into a complete lunatic. So here we are, we're all sitting at the turn lane waiting to get in from one road to another. You know how it is, you get, you wait for the little green arrow. And I'm about maybe 7-8 cars in. It's a long line. It's a long line, but it's also a long light. It's a fair light. It's a good light. Never had a problem with this particular traffic light. There are traffic lights I can tell you about that I have detested, that I have had all kinds of altercations with. And then there are the fair ones. And those fair ones are worthy of respect, admiration even. So, yeah, there I was, 7 or 8 cars in. And the thing turns green. Inside of a second, less than a second, inside of a tenth of a second, the moron behind me leans on his horn as if somehow we live in some kind of Star Trek universe where all of a sudden all the cars are supposed to vaporize into nothingness and we're all supposed to be on the other side of the green light. There's nothing that is humanly possible or possible in any realm that I can think of that would have satisfied this moron. When that light turned green, he wanted instant gratification, wanted to be through the thing and at his destination. Believe me, that would have made me happy too, to have him at his destination and to have him stay there. So yeah, he's leaning on his horn, like, and people are moving. It's not like people are stopped. And sometimes that happens where people just are engrossed in conversations or reading a magazine or something. God knows what they're doing behind the wheel. They're just sitting there waiting for something to happen when it's already happening and they're just not seeing it. And everyone behind them has to deal with the results of them being an idiot. Yeah, that happens. I share the frustration. And, you know, there's a little side story to that. I mean, sometimes you get frustrated and you beep at somebody. Not a long beep. Not a nasty beep like the guy behind me was doing. No, just a little tap of the horn. You would think sometimes when you tap the horn that you're murdering their firstborn. The way they react. Oh my God, what have you done? What have you done? You've haunted me. Now it's on. Now there's a war. Literally, this has happened to me twice this year, actually. Twice this year. And that might not sound like much, but I consider what happens afterwards to be really kind of dramatic. Where you just honk at somebody, and again, not a long honk. I've done the long honk when I'm really annoyed at somebody. I actually did the long honk today because I was rounding a curve and this idiot in a van was two-thirds in my side of the road and I had no place to go except either into the forest or into his windshield. So he got the long honk. He deserved it. Yet I still sense that he was angry that I honked at him. You know, you're coming right at me. You're going to get a honk. Or a beep. They're the same thing, right? I mean, some cars beep, some cars honk, but it's all the same thing. I use the terms interchangeably. So, okay, you know, I had that happen once twice this year, where I beeped at somebody who was apparently either fallen asleep or fallen into a coma or something that deserved a beep to get them out of it. And at some point, I just wound up being in front of them, either because they just didn't move at all and I had to pass them, or because on the ensuing road, I was able to get ahead of them. And both times we're on one lane roads, or one lane in each direction, it is double yellow lines, and the person felt the need to overtake me over a double yellow line, even despite the fact that there was oncoming traffic coming. They were so angry and they had to prove themselves right by getting in front of me that they were willing to risk their lives and the lives of many others just to succeed at that. For honking at somebody. Yeah, not even a gesture. There have been gestures in the past, but no, not this time. This was just somebody who was so completely taken aback at having their decisions questioned like that. So yeah, I have been on the other side of that. I've you know, used the horn to indicate, let's get moving already, let's keep the day going. It was not justified in this case. Not justified in this case. Moron behind me was honking at all 8 cars in front of him, who were doing the best they could in a world where, you know, physics still is the law, one at a time, you know, one after the other, wasn't good enough. Wasn't good enough. So, you know, in my mind, I'm always thinking of ways to get back at people. And I had the perfect plan, because being from the area, I'm familiar with all the traffic lights. As I've already pointed out, I have relationships with almost each and every traffic light in the area. Good, bad, indifferent. But I know them all. They all know me. I know how to make them do things. People don't realize that there are sensors in the ground, and if you know where the sensors are, you can make lights do things. You know, I feel like the Amazing Kreskin or something sometimes when I'm showing people, hey, look, I'm going to make this light turn green. How did you do that? Oh, my goodness. It's really very simple, but I guess we all go through our lives without paying attention to the obvious things around us. So I knew this light. I knew that it was timed in a particular way. I knew that it was a liberal light. A liberal light meaning that it would stay green longer if there were more cars. Conservative light pretty much stays green for a particular amount of time and then turns no matter what. You can tell conservative traffic lights because you'll see traffic backed up for miles at particular times of the day. And you also see some poor fool waiting there at 3 in the morning for something to turn, because it's not based on a sensor, it's based on a timer. So I knew that this particular light, being a liberal light, would stay green for a long time. This guy had no problem, nothing to worry about. He'd get through it all right. You know, he'd be on his way to wherever it is that people weren't looking forward to seeing him. Unless there was a gap of one car length. In which case, the traffic light would say, oh, the cars have finished coming over the sensor. I'm going to turn yellow. So I carefully devised a method where space would develop between me and the car in front of me so that there would be just enough for the traffic light to be fooled into thinking that there was no more traffic coming. And yes, it did turn yellow. Turned yellow right before I slowly crept through the intersection. Oh boy, I could hear the anger in the honking that was going on behind me at that point, because this guy had invested so much time in this. He had started honking immediately, and his worst nightmares were coming true. Out of all the cars, he was the only one, thanks to me, who did not make it. And I'll tell you, it was the most incredible feeling looking back and just seeing that one solitary car parked there when everyone else was moving forward. And the thing is, you know, he would have been with the rest of us if he hadn't been such a jerk about it. So yeah, that's the lesson. That's the lesson tonight. I think it's actually somebody who works here too, so they should be arriving soon and we'll have a chance to talk about it further. But yeah, driving around, it can be fun. It can be deadly, though. It can be very hazardous and crazy and not pleasant. People need to lighten up, you know. I don't know what it is, but something definitely is up in society today. We talk about this a lot, usually when people completely go berserk and shoot up a school or a shopping center or a church or God knows what else. And yeah, you know, easy access to weapons is one big problem, but the bigger problem, I think, is our emotions and the fact that we're so easily unhinged. Yeah, if that guy behind me had a gun, who knows? Instead of honking, he might have just started shooting out the tires or the heads of the people in front of him. And then passing them legally. So, you know, in this day and age, we just seem to be so so stressed out by, I guess, being overworked, underpaid, too much school, too much pressure from a variety of different sources, too many distractions, you know, things like that. And, it's a bad time, I guess, to lose your temper. So, I don't know, you just have to sort of look at these situations and put them in perspective. You know, you might be annoyed by somebody who's in front of you or who's behind you, but you can't let it ruin your evening or even ruin the next 5 minutes or ruin your life or whatever it is that you choose to let it ruin. You can't let it do that. And too many times, this is what people are doing. They take it personally if you honk at them. They take it personally if you get in front of them, the ultimate sin. And they wind up creating a very dangerous situation and a very stressful situation and turning our nation's highways, which used to be a delightful place to hang out, into living hell. Yeah. Yeah, I saw something else interesting this last week while driving around. I noticed sometimes I'm up early and I'm driving around at about 3 in the afternoon, and I get behind the school bus. And yeah, that's annoying, but at least everybody observes that rule. It's very rare that I see somebody not respect the school bus and stop when they're supposed to stop on the other side of the road and all that. But I noticed that it's a little different today than it was when I was going to school. You don't have to walk anymore to get to the damn school bus. Apparently, school buses drop you off on every single block, and in this particular case, they drop you off at every single driveway. I noticed this. Bus would stop, one kid would get off, go down one house, bus would stop again, another kid would get... Whatever happened to having to walk to the bus stop? You don't have to walk to the bus stop anymore because every place is a bus stop, apparently. Yeah, I guess it's less time for the kids to be out there walking next to a street in public where they might be snatched up by some crazy stranger. Why not just drive them to their door? Why not just install a tunnel system or something from the school to everybody's house? When I was a kid, I had to walk two blocks to get to the bus stop. One year, the budget was turned down, and we had to walk to school or find another way to school. And I remember, all year long, I had to walk all the way to junior high school. It wasn't that hard. You know, it's something like one of these stories where, you know, you had to walk barefoot through the snow for 10 miles to get to school every day. Yeah, it wasn't like that. But it sure wasn't like this, you know, where basically every single step of the way is monitored. I even saw this, and this, you're not going to believe this. I wish I had something to film it with, but it's true. When I was behind this bus, and everybody was being very well behaved, motorists that is, when the bus stopped and let a kid or two off, there was a car waiting for the kid. And, you know, this is not uncommon either. I think it's kind of silly, but parents drive their big, huge SUVs and idle at the curb waiting for their kids to get dropped off by the school bus so that they can turn it around and drive to the house. You know, God forbid the kid should walk a few houses to get home. But again, it's all paranoia. It's all worried about what's going to happen between where the bus drops the kid off and the kid gets to his house. And yeah, we hear the horror stories. But there have always been horror stories, and the more we fixate on the horror stories, the more horror stories there will be. And the biggest horror story of them all is what we turn into. Just a bunch of paranoid, stressed out zombies. But in this particular case, the bus stopped at the foot of a driveway. There was an SUV waiting at the foot of the driveway. The kid gets off the bus, gets onto the SUV, into the SUV, which then drives up the driveway. They couldn't even let the kid walk up the driveway. This is what we have turned into. Unbelievable. And the kid wasn't obese yet, but boy, check in another few years. I'll bet for sure he will be. Like I said, things are not how they used to be. We don't drive with the same customs. We don't value the same things as far as getting a little bit of exercise and being a little bit independent. What about respecting the WL line? You know, that's gone out the window, too. I mentioned the van earlier today, you know, two-thirds in my side of the road. What happened to the WL line? You know, you got to respect that. The lunatics who had to pass me because I honked at them, they crossed the WL line, didn't matter that the line was there. It didn't matter that traffic was coming. They had to show what they were made of. And they almost did, too, when they almost collided with the oncoming traffic. It just seems like there's no more respect for that double yellow line. I see it all the time, you know. It's not an optional thing. It's not like a dotted line. It's not like no line at all. Double yellow means do not ever cross unless there's something really horrible ahead, then you have no choice. It's not a bike lane. This is something else. In New York City, see people riding down the double yellow line on their bikes. No, that's not what it is. And that's another thing, you know. I criticize bicyclists, too, and this is the problem. I say I don't suffer fools gladly. These are fools of all walks of life. This is why I always get in trouble, no matter what group I'm in, because I'm always going to find something wrong with the group and be chastised. But, yeah, you know, a lot of bicyclists in New York ride awfully, really badly. And it's amazing they don't get killed the way they ride. That's not to say a lot of motorists aren't imbeciles, too, and nearly run them down or nearly mow down pedestrians, but... Boy, you know, you gotta be thinking. I used to ride a bike all the way from Stony Brook down to Selden, which is maybe about, 6 miles away? In the middle of the night, down Nichols Road here. Every night. That's how I got back and forth to school. And believe me, you know, riding down a dark road like that when I didn't even have a helmet, you have to be really, really careful. You have to be really respectful of traffic. And this is something that I think a lot of bicyclists are very much in danger of not realizing, thinking that they're in command when actually they're very vulnerable. Riding in the middle of traffic when they have a bike lane makes no sense. You know, and I bring this up to people. I bring this up to people who are bicyclists themselves, and they don't criticize. Like there was one instance where this guy was literally riding 5 miles an hour in the middle of a road where cars were going a good 30 miles an hour. And at one point, he just decides to turn around and head the other way and almost collides right into me. And I was slowing down because I saw this imbecile not knowing what he was doing. And you'd think it was the second Holocaust, the way this guy was carried on. And in fact, he wound up smashing my car with his fist, like I had done something wrong. And I've mentioned this. I mentioned this story to a bunch of people. Never is the bicyclist criticized, because you don't do that. You don't do that. You don't criticize somebody that you feel an affinity for. Well, I do. when I see somebody doing something wrong, it doesn't matter if I have the same views on abortion as they do, or if they're a Palestinian, or, you know, whatever else is above and beyond reproach. You know what? You do something stupid, you're going to get criticized. That's just how it is. And this happens many, many times in many areas, politics, religion, riding a bike, driving a car, walking down the street. If you're doing it wrong, I'm going to point it out. All right. All right, this is something else. Whenever I come in here, I always go into something I had no intention of going into. And this thing with the idiot in back of me, it just happened, so I had no plans on talking about that. I wanted to talk about, first of all, I wanted to talk about something that happened last week. And I know a bunch of people are going to roll their eyes at this because it's sports related. But you know what? We have a basketball game coming up after the show, so the sports kind of ties in. Is anybody here in America even aware of what happened last week in the world of sport? I mean, you know, not just your own local sports or your own American sports. I'm talking about the world arena. You pay attention? You should. You should pay attention because, you know, the world, it's an important place. It's a big place. It's the only place out there right now. And last week, the World Cup was finalized. The 32 teams that are going to be part of the World Cup were decided. They were all decided last week. There were a bunch that were decided beforehand. Yes, the United States was in. Yes, North Korea was in. But there were other places that were not in yet. And now we know what they all are. But there were a couple of rather big issues. There was a game between France and Ireland. took place in France. And it was tied up at the end of regulation. Now, the only way to decide which team was going to move ahead into the World Cup next year in South Africa was to go into overtime. I think they have two periods of overtime, and if that doesn't work out, they do penalty shots. So, it was in a period of overtime that France scored a goal. And they were very happy. However, there was something very wrong with this goal. The goal was scored because of an illegal move. And the most illegal move you can make in soccer is to touch the ball with your hand. You're not supposed to do that. I don't know why. Imagine what a game it would be if you could. You know, all kinds of possibilities would manifest themselves. But that's always been... Why don't they just tie their hands behind their backs? Wouldn't that make it a lot easier for them not to do this? Yeah, they'd look kind of silly, but... Well, that's something to consider. This guy, Thierry Henry, I believe is how you pronounce his name? Thierry, I'm trying to say it like a French person. Thierry Henry touched the ball with his hand and was able to keep it from going out of play. It was an involuntary motion. It happens all the time, but it's called a handball. It's a penalty. It's something that's not supposed to happen. Well, guess what? The ref missed it. He did not see it. Everybody else did. The Irish team saw it. The fans in the stands saw it. They were French fans, so maybe they didn't want to actually point that out. And, of course, millions and millions of people watching around the world saw it, and everybody afterwards saw it. And yet, the decision held that it was a legal goal, and France won the game based on that. Now, how can that be considered to be fair? The Irish have been... pushing FIFA, which is the organization that runs international football, pushing them for a replay, and they've been categorically denied because, well, we just do not question the ref. Even if the ref is wrong, that's a bad precedent to set. Bad precedent to set. I mean, isn't this as bad a precedent as you can possibly set? Allowing a team to go to the World Cup, based on an illegal goal. And the Irish are completely right to be upset and outraged by this. And there's a lot of speculation that, you know, if this had been, say, France versus Italy, you know, major players like that, they definitely would have had some kind of replay or some kind of satisfaction. But Ireland, you know, they've never really won anything, so who really cares? France would have won anyway. That's the mentality out there. And it's completely wrong, unfair, and just leaves a bad taste for the whole sport. Now, even the guy who touched the ball with his hand says a replay would be the fairer solution. Thierry Henry released a statement to news organizations in which he claimed again he was not a cheat and that his handball had been an instinctive reaction. The fairest solution would be to replay the game, but it is not in my control. Naturally, I feel embarrassed in the way that we won and feel extremely sorry for the Irish, who definitely deserve to be in South Africa. I have said it at the time, and I will say again that yes, I handled the ball. I am not a cheat and never have been. It was an instinctive reaction to a ball that was coming extremely fast in a crowded penalty area. So, yeah, you know, he did the right thing. Of course... What do you do in a situation like that? When the goal is scored, he was jumping up and down with everybody else. He didn't look that thrilled because I think he knew that he did something wrong. But what do you do? Do you run to the referee and say, hey, this is a big mistake. You have to take back the goal. You know, do you do that in front of thousands and thousands of French fans? You know, do you risk what might happen to you in the locker room afterwards with your teammates? How do you react in a situation like that where you know you've done something wrong, and yet everybody is happy at what was accomplished because you did something wrong? So, yeah, you know, I can sort of almost understand FIFA's position, because if they open this up, then they have to offer replays for all kinds of other instances, and maybe not so important games, but more importantly, they have to at least allow instant replays to question the refs, because the refs are only human and they might make mistakes now and then. It's a big step for them, a step they're going to have to make at some point, but it's a big step. I can understand why they immediately denied this, because they're afraid. They're afraid of this kind of change, what it might mean. But those I cannot understand include the French national team and the French fans and anybody that's celebrating this. You know, the French national team should come forward and do the right thing and say, you know what, we won this in a tainted way, let's do it again. If they're any good, they're going to win again, but at least they will have done the right thing. I don't think FIFA is going to stop them from doing that, so they have the power. They have the power to do this. If they don't, then forever there's going to be this animosity between the two countries. And, yeah, you might say, okay, who cares, Ireland and France? That's not really a rivalry that's going to go anywhere. But do you really want to cast a shadow over what could be a really good team? What if France really goes ahead in the competition next year? Even if they go all the way and win, people are going to say, well, you know what? They didn't even qualify legitimately. How could that be good for them? So, you know, I think they really need to do that. They really need to come forward and make some kind of offering to give the Irish a fighting chance. And to at least lose in the right way. And failing that, if the French national team can't do this, and I can't imagine why they can't, then I think the French government's got to do something. They've got to do some kind of gesture, some magnanimous gesture to the Irish. Maybe build them a new Statue of Liberty, send it over there, or something. Just something nice, something really nice, you know. Pay everyone's taxes for a year. Whatever, just do something. Otherwise, you know, another country is going to be selling freedom fries or doing worse things. All right. That's what's happening in international sports. It's fascinating to watch this. And, of course, we also had the Egypt-Algeria game. Now, this was interesting because they finished completely tied up. There was no way to decide who the winner was. They had to have a special playoff game. I think Algeria would have won this in the final game of their competition, but Egypt scored this really late goal, and they stayed in it. And then there were all these battles back and forth. The Egyptian team was attacked. Was it the Egyptian team that was attacked or the Algerian team? One of the teams was attacked in their buses, and it was really a bad scene. So they had the final game, the special playoff, played in the neutral country of, get this, Sudan. Yeah, so... So you had three potential hot points. You had Egypt, Algeria, and the Sudan, where all kinds of trouble was expected because these teams really didn't get along with each other. Well, in the end, Algeria won, but that didn't put an end to the battles. Hundreds of angry demonstrators in Egypt's capital fought with police near the Algerian embassy as late as Friday. The clashes in Cairo stem from tensions over Algeria's victory over Egypt in a World Cup qualifier soccer match and earlier fights between soccer fans in the North African countries. The ministry said 39 security forces were wounded in the clashes and cars and stores were damaged in a place called Zamalek, an island in Cairo on the Nile River. There's a strong security presence in the area with truckloads of riot police and more than 1,000 security forces. And there's even a diplomatic row between the two North African countries, with Egypt recalling its ambassador to Algiers on Thursday. And Egypt's withdrawal of its ambassador followed Algeria's refusal Thursday to allow an Egyptian plane to land. I mean, what is it exactly that's the issue here? the game's over, you know? One side won, one side lost. What is there a demonstration about exactly? A demonstration against reality? I mean, yeah, it's tough. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. This is just adding more loss to a loss. It's really something. Can you imagine if the handball had happened in that game? Oh, my God. That would have been something. So, yeah, you know, it's it may seem exciting to watch the NFL on Thanksgiving, but the real excitement is in the world arena, so keep your eyes on that. Also, Iraq, by the way, you might remember them, they've been banned from international football. The Iraqi Olympic Committee said on Saturday it stands by its decision to disband the country's soccer association, and that move led to the association's suspension from international football. World governing body FIFA said on Friday it had decided to suspend the Iraqi Football Association because of the Iraqi Olympic Committee's move to disband it. FIFA described that as governmental interference. The suspension means Iraqi soccer clubs and teams may not play in international matches or receive financial assistance, though FIFA made an exception for Iraqi female players to play in a week-long under-16 regional football festival in Jordan starting on Sunday. FIFA said it learned Monday that the Iraqi Olympic Committee had disbanded the IFA, the Iraqi Football Association, and that governmental security forces had seized control of the IFA headquarters. Yeah, so, you know, makes you wonder just what's going on over there, what that's all about. And according to polls, this was on Euronews, which is Channel 103 in Cablevision land, and seen mostly throughout the rest of the world without much problems. 81% of people polled say that the game between Ireland and France should be replayed. 81%. Can't really ignore that. And 62% say that the Egypt-Algeria World Cup match is more than just football. Yeah, some deep-seated issues there, apparently. All right, that's it. That's it for sports. I'd like to take some phone calls, because we had a lot of phone calls last week, some good conversations, so if people want to call in and let us know what's on their mind, I'd be happy to do that. It would entail, of course, going into delay, but we're capable of doing that as well. So if we see a bunch of phone calls come in, 631-632-9872, 631-632-WUSB is our phone number. Now, another fascinating story that took place this last week happened right here on Long Island. It had nothing to do with sports. Had to do with stupidity, though. Yeah, a lot of that. Police on Long Island had to shut down a mall appearance by teen pop singer Justin Bieber? Bieber? How do you say this? B-I-E-B-E-R. I don't know how to say it. I didn't even know his name until this week. Really. I'm that out of it. I'm happy to be out of it. All right, I'm going to say Bieber for the sake of this particular story. Teen pop singer Justin Bieber, after thousands of young girls showed up and got a little too wild. Girls and adults in the Friday crowd of nearly 3,000 started pushing and shoving as they waited for the 15-year-old to show at a clothing store at the Roosevelt Field Mall in Garden City. Bieber's appearance was still 2 hours away when things got out of hand. 5 people were taken to hospitals with minor injuries. People started screaming, "Justin!" and they ran forward and the ropes collapsed, said 13-year-old Amy Mackey. She said she was knocked to the floor in the rush. Everyone was pushing. There was no room to breathe. Oh, my goodness. And this guy, Justin Bieber, became famous through YouTube. Yeah, he started posting videos of himself singing on YouTube in 2007. We have to stop this kind of thing. It's amazing. But, you know, the Internet theme doesn't stop there, because James Ropo of Hoboken, New Jersey, is a vice president on Bieber's record label, Island Def Jam Records. He was arrested because he refused to send a Twitter message getting the crowd to disperse. Can you believe this? I don't think this has ever happened before. Someone was arrested for not sending a Twitter message. Nassau County Police Detective Lieutenant Kevin Smith. "We asked for his help in getting the crowd to go away by sending out a Twitter message. By not cooperating with us, we feel he put lives in danger and the public at risk." Not sending a tweet. This is so crazy. I don't even know where to begin. But, yeah, really, really crazy. So I think for I saw one phone call come in and another phone call come in, but, you know, we have to see a few phone calls come in, and then we'll go to the phone. 631-632-9872. Phones light up. We'll go into delay and take some calls. How about that? That's fair, right? Okay. I guess, you know, since I was talking about the World Cup, just to go back into that for a second, to let you know the 32 teams that have qualified, in case you're fans of any of these countries. Here we go. From Europe, Denmark, England, France, Germany, Greece, Italy, Netherlands, Portugal, Serbia, Slovakia, Slovenia, Spain, and Switzerland all have qualified. I think it's the first time that five teams beginning with the letter S have qualified at the same time from Europe. Africa, Algeria, Cameroon, Ivory Coast, Ghana, Nigeria, and South Africa, who are serving as the hosts, have qualified. From our particular region of the world, known as CONCACAF, which stands for something, United States, Mexico, and Honduras. And from the South American section, Argentina, Brazil, Chile, Paraguay, and Uruguay. New Zealand also qualified, but you know what? They got a free pass as far as I'm concerned. And finally, and that other region of the world, the Australian region, Australia, Japan, and of course, Australia and Asia, I guess I should say. Australia, Japan, North Korea, and South Korea. Those are all 32 teams that will be in the World Cup next June in South Africa. Okay, we're going to go into delay, take some phone calls. Again, our phone number is 631-632-9872. If you have any comments on any of this or anything else that's been going on in the world, give us a call. 631-632-9872. Hey, is that who I think it is?
Hi, this is Lou Reed, and you're listening to WUSB Stony Brook.
Okay, I don't know why it's not working. It was working before. But something's not right. I'm hitting the switches. I am hitting the switches. I'm going to hit this again. Maybe it's something dirty inside. It does happen occasionally. And we'll see if it... No, it's not working. I don't have an explanation for this. I'm looking at the patches. They're still there. It's broken. I'm sorry. There's nothing I can do. I'll try it one more time. I'll hit this, I'll flick that up and put this down, and try it one more time. No, it's not working, I'm sorry. Well, in that particular case, then we just have to go on to some other material that we have. We weren't getting that many phone calls anyway, so... If it was really lit up, I'd feel compelled to tear the place apart and figure out what's wrong, but, yeah, it's not worth the effort. Okay, Thanksgiving is coming up, as you know, and Buy Nothing Day is the day after, otherwise known as Black Friday. I don't know how that works exactly, the whole buy nothing. This is another instance where I criticize people who don't like to be criticized, but, you know, it's... To me, it just seems like you're destined for failure because it's the biggest shopping day of the year. And by you taking on the biggest shopping day of the year and saying, let's make this our stand where we decide to buy nothing. And then the media reports all these people buying things and lining up for hours for stores to open and having riots and things like that. It sure does make it seem like you failed. You know, it makes it seem like nobody's listening to you. Whereas if you pick a day like, I don't know, January 23rd or something, and, you know, a day that's not particularly well known for having crowds of shoppers, and then you can actually say, look, things went down on this day. It's because of us. Whether or not it is because of you, you can actually try and twist the statistics a little bit. But yeah, you know, doing it on the most popular day for shopping, I don't know. I'm just questioning the logic. But yeah, okay, whatever. Buy Nothing Day. But you know, how do you do that? How do you buy nothing, especially if you have one of these credit cards where it charges you automatically, and it charges you on that day. You know, you've bought something on that day because it charged you on that day. If you're using electricity, you're buying electricity on that day. You know, if you're watching cable TV, you're paying for that on that day. It's very, very difficult. If you turn off all your power and you cut your phone line and report it out of service so you don't have to pay for it on that day, yeah, then technically you're not buying anything on that day. But it's really, really hard. And, you know, some people say it's okay to buy things online and buy nothing there. What kind of logic is that? It's just wrong to go to a store, but it's okay to sit at home and buy something online. You know, it seems like it's just another excuse to become more obese and less active. Anyway, as a public service, and because we know how to surf the web, we track down the cheapest days to buy certain items. It's really got nothing to do with this Friday or Buy Nothing or Thanksgiving or anything like that, but it's something. It's something that you can actually make use of. Now, of course, you can always find a way around this. You can always find coupons and price comparison search engines, reward memberships, things like that. But there are still some rules. There are still some things that you can take advantage of if you know these things. Airplane tickets, for instance. Did you know that Wednesday morning is the cheapest day, cheapest time to buy airplane tickets? Why? Well, most airfare sales are thrown out there on the weekend. That's according to travel expert Peter Greenberg, known as the travel detective. Other airlines then jump into the game, discounting their own fares and prompting further changes by the first airline. The fares reach their lowest prices late Tuesday or early Wednesday. Want to buy a book? Well, the best time to buy a book is on Thursday. Price compare between major chains Barnes & Noble and Borders. The former releases its weekly sales and coupons every Thursday, the latter every Tuesday. Actually, I think I got that reversed. Yeah, just reverse that and you'll be fine. Cars. You want to buy a car? Cheapest day to buy a car is Monday. Car dealers live for the weekend, which is when they make most of their sales. That's according to Phil Reed, consumer advice editor for Edmunds.com. I don't know what that is. On Mondays, the low foot traffic makes it seem like the weekend will never come. That dealer desperation paired with fewer consumers on the lot gives you more negotiating power. It's true. Clothing. Want to buy clothing? Well, Thursday evening is the best time to buy clothing. That's the day when stores stock their shelves for the weekend and when many retailers, including Ann Taylor, Banana Republic, and Express, start their weekend promotions. That's according to Catherine Finney, author of How to Be a Budget Fashionista. Can't believe I just used that word. You'll find great prices and the best selection. Can't believe I just said that. It's an effort to get people to shop in the middle of the week, according to Catherine Finney. Okay, you want to buy department store wares. Saturday evening, apparently, is the best time to do that. Department stores have a lot to mark down for their Sunday circulars, so they frequently start the process on Saturday evenings before store closing. That's also according to Catherine Finney. They're preparing for the big rush. And even if the markdowns haven't been made, many employees will honor the sales price if you ask. Print out the circular preview from the store's website and bring it with you when you head to the mall. Oh, boy. Well, this is actually good because they say the cheapest night for dinner out is, guess what, Tuesday night, tonight. Tonight's the cheapest night. Why? Because most restaurants don't receive food deliveries over the weekend. Sunday is the garbage can day of the week. That's according to Kate Crater, senior editor at Food & Wine magazine. No doubt they're cleaning out their fridges. Tuesdays, they're starting fresh. Dining out on that day offers the best odds you'll get a meal worth paying for, no matter what your price point is. Well, okay, you know, but that also makes it seem kind of like a bad idea to get something on, say, a Monday. So, I want to keep that in mind. Entertainment. Best day to buy entertainment things is Wednesday. Plenty of movie theaters, amusement parks, museums offer extra discounts to consumers who visit midweek. Six Flags Theme Parks offers a $12 discount to AAA members, three times its usual discount of $4. AMC Theaters offers members in its free AMC Movie Watcher Reward Program a free small popcorn on Wednesdays. Yeah. And that stuff's really bad for you. I read somewhere where a medium popcorn is like eating four Big Macs. Have you ever eaten four Big Macs? If you have, then you know what a bad idea that is. Yuck. Gas. Okay, best day to buy gas is Thursday before 10 a.m. The price of oil isn't the only factor influencing costs at your local pump. Consumer usage plays a role, too, and weekend demand is high. That's according to Jason Toews, co-founder of GasBuddy.com. Toews, that's really his name. He writes about cars. Kind of interesting. Prices usually swing upward on Thursdays as travelers fuel up to head out the following day. By hitting the pump before 10 a.m., when many station owners change their prices, you'll beat the rush and the price jump. Feel like buying groceries? Well, Sunday or Tuesday, either one works. Maximize savings by combining store sales, which run from Wednesday to Tuesday, with the latest round of coupons from your Sunday paper. That's according to Mary Hunt, publisher of Debt Proof Living, a money-saving newsletter. It's a smart idea to wait until you have those in hand to match up with the week's sale items, she says. To snag savings on items you don't need just yet, shop on Tuesday, advises Hunt. Chances are the store will have run out of the sale items. That means you can pick up rain checks, which allow you to buy those items later when you need them and at the sale price. Way to go, Mary. And finally, hotel rooms. Best day to buy hotel rooms, Sunday. There are two types of hotel managers, and the kind that won't give you a discount on your room rate has Sundays off, they say. Yeah, call the hotel directly and ask to speak with the manager on duty or the director of sales. These employees are open to negotiation. They'd rather have a booked room at a discounted rate than an empty room. The rest of the week, your call would get you a so-called revenue manager who monitors profits and is rarely willing to lower rates. That's interesting. That's interesting. So, yeah, now you know some valuable bits of information. Don't say we never saved you anything, because we exist to help people out and make life just a little bit more pleasant. Our email address, otw@2600.com. If you have anything you'd like to say to us or share with us, we're certainly open to that. You know, speaking of health issues, this is something that I thought we all kind of knew, but apparently in those places where, did we mention this? I think we might have mentioned this already. There's a big drop in heart attacks after there were smoking bans. Yeah, I think we did mention this. In certain cities that had smoking bans, there was naturally a drop in such health issues. But this is something we might not have mentioned. Alcohol, a drug that is a major cause of accidents, in case you're not familiar with what it is, may actually protect the brain from a life-threatening injury when an accident does occur. That's according to a study published in Archives of Surgery. In the study of 38,000 patients with moderate to severe traumatic brain injuries who were admitted to U.S. hospitals between 2000 and 2005, 38% had alcohol in their blood. Such patients had a lower risk of dying of their injuries than those who hadn't been drinking. Yeah, this study really brings up more questions than it answers, says one of the co-authors. It's a bad thing to say alcohol is good, especially since it's responsible for so many of these injuries, but our study suggests that there may be some survival advantage for people with elevated blood alcohol levels. Yeah, that's something to consider. I don't know how to interpret that or what to advise people to do. But about the only thing I could think of, if you're in a car and you are determined to run into a brick wall and you want to survive, doesn't make any sense. Who would want to do this? Then you're probably best off drinking heavily first before you drive into the brick wall. But yeah, I could just as easily say, if you don't drive into the brick wall, you'll survive too. And you can still drink heavily. But then that might lead to another problem. You know, don't ask me to comment on things like that because I don't know anything about it. And finally, we might have heard of this this story, speaking of fat people and health and things like that. Peruvian authorities say they have arrested four members of a gang that specialized in selling to European labs fat obtained from dead humans. Yeah. How do you start a business like this anyway? Yeah, this is a good idea. Let's harvest some obese people. And who are we going to sell it to? Well, Europe, of course. We're going to sell it to them. Yeah. Officials are investigating the disappearance of at least 60 people they believe were killed by gang members in two mountainous states in central Peru. The four suspects have been charged with murder in the September slaying of a Peruvian man. They killed to obtain human fat because there are European laboratories that would pay them. Suspects told authorities they were paid $15,000 for a liter of human fat. Now, how do you even measure that? If I see a fat person coming down the street, how many liters are they carrying? They do the translation here to quarts. They say a liter is about a quart. That doesn't help me. How many quarts is this person carrying? I don't know. Are we talking about, what, maybe three per person? Or can you get maybe 20 per person? I don't know what the conversion is. That really affects the greed level here. $15,000. Why is fat such a premium? Officials did not disclose what possible use laboratories could have for the human fat, but fat can be a component of cosmetics and is used in reconstructive or cosmetic surgery. The use of human fat for any purpose is extremely rare, however, according to physicians. Yet there are these European labs, which I think maybe they should ask the European labs just what they're going to do with all this human fat. Okay. Well, I think that's going to just about do it for us here tonight. We have a basketball game coming up at a quarter after, so stay tuned for that. Either we're going to have a very quick Finn's Revolution tonight, or there won't be a Finn, and there'll be something else for those 15 minutes. In any event, we'll be back next week talking about all kinds of other things. We'll see how the Black Friday went, if people really did buy nothing, or maybe just didn't spend any money. Because we all know what money is, don't we? Yeah, I'll leave you some thoughts on that. Have a good night.
Just don't flip to it. For the sake of money, superstar cars, you see high depth. somebody's black ITV. Who go from rags to riches and spill their riches on rags. Similar bags with a grind of name tag. Be glad you got yourself to be mad. They think, cause they making mad mistakes. You waiting, you can't replace that space. And I bet money can't keep that smile on your face.